You'll find an authorized version in the English language of the Holy Scriptures in the pew before you. Take it out and turn with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 22. We're reading the first 9 verses of this chapter. And we read it together, taking your time from me. The 22nd chapter of Joshua. Then Joshua called the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh, and said unto them, ye have kept all that Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, and have obeyed my voice in all that I commanded you. Ye have not left your brethren these many days unto this day, but have kept the charge of the commandment of the Lord your God. And now the Lord your God hath given rest unto your brethren, as he promised them. Therefore now return ye, and get you unto your tents, and unto the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side Jordan. But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So Joshua blessed them and sent them away, and they went unto their tents. Now to the one half of the tribe of Manasseh, Moses had given possession in Bashan, and to the other half therefore gave Joshua among their brethren on this side Jordan westward. And when Joshua sent them away also unto their tents, then he blessed them. And he spake unto them, saying, return with much riches unto your tents, and with very much cattle, with silver and with gold, and with brass and with iron, and with very much raiment. Divide the spoil of your enemies with your brethren. And the children of Reuben, and the children of Gad, and the half tribe of Manasseh returned and departed from the children of Israel out of Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan, to go unto the country of Gilead, to the land of their possession, whereunto they were possessed, according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. God will stamp with his own divine seal of approval this reading from his very old infallible book. I want to speak on the final exhortation of the Jesus of the Old Testament. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 22. And in Joshua chapter 22, we have the final exhortation of the Jesus of the Old Testament. When I was a growing lad reading the Bible, I was bamboozled about many things in the Scripture. And one of the things that bamboozled me were 2 scriptures in the New Testament. Let's turn to them. The first one was in Acts chapter 7. And at the verse 45. And it spoke there in Acts chapter 7 and verse 45 of Jesus, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. Well, I didn't understand how Jesus got into the Old Testament and came before David. And I was a bad boy, because if I'd been a good boy, I would have acknowledged my ignorance and went to my dad. But I didn't want to show my ignorance, so I just sat there with a problem. How could Jesus get into the Old Testament? And then I turned to another scripture. I came across another scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8. And there we read these words: for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? And this, of course, has reference tied into David in verse 7. And here we have Jesus living in the age of David. And I couldn't find him or hair of what this was about. And then one day I discovered that the word Joshua is the Hebrew word for Jesus. Jesus Yeshu in the Greek and Joshua in the Hebrew. And then it all became clear to me that when we have these references to Jesus in the Old Testament, they have to do with Joshua. And here is a little job you can do. When you're reading the Old Testament, mark how many times Joshua's name occurs. And you will find that Joshua had his name changed to Joshua by Moses. He was one of the men in the scripture that had a name change. The Lord Jesus had a great name change. God gave to him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now here we have the Jesus of the Old Testament, wonderful type of our Savior. And he is exhorting a certain part of the Israel of God, and he's giving them a final exhortation. No more shall they hear his voice. No more shall they have the opportunity to hear him speak. He's saying goodbye to them. And he tells them, verse 5 of the 22nd chapter of his book, but take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. A sevenfold exhortation. An exhortation of heeding, of loving, of walking, of keeping, of cleaving, an exhortation of heart serving and soul serving. Seven in Scripture is the number of perfection. And here is the perfect exhortation. Joshua saying farewell. You see, every promise that God made to Abraham was fulfilled about the land of promise. The Lord had promised to give the land of Canaan unto Abraham's seed. And here they are, possessing the land of promise. He promised to make Abraham's seed a prolific and numerous seed. And we read here that they had to be numbered. And when they were numbered, there were 600,000 on foot. And you take in the wives and the families. And there was at least 3 million of them. What a sight it must have been to see 3 million people all marching together through the wilderness. What a sight. For 40 years they kept step in the wilderness. The Lord promised to preserve them. They didn't need to go to Tesco's to get a new suit because their suits grew with them. And the little child was given a suit after it was born. When it grew, the suit grew. The shoes grew. Oh yes, you better read the Bible and find out the miracles God did for them. Because I was given a suit the day I was born again. And it grew with me. I still have the same suit. And there's not a stain on it. I don't need to take it to the dry cleaners. For it came out of the wet cleaners. Wet with the blood of the Lamb. I washed my robe. I made it white in the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. There's power in the blood. I'm glad there's one fellow listening anyway over there. Let me say something more. You go down this whole thing and you'll find that he promised that he would supply their need. That no one would stand before them. That he would give unto them great blessing. And to that blessing he would add the blessed comfort of rest. Rest. And as I thought of those promises, I thought of two scriptures over in Peter's epistles. And you would turn over to epistle, the first epistle of Peter, at the chapter 1 and at the verse 14, I think it is. It says, verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I, as a Christian, had the same promise as the Israelites had. I am promised a land to be possessed. And there is a land in glory for me. It's reserved in heaven. No one can touch it. My name's on it, and I'll enter in. And then in the epistle at 2 Peter, the first chapter again, and the same verse 4, You find these words, the words of the promise. You see, God said he would give them the land, and then he sealed it with his promise. God has done that for every child of God. What does it say? Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. So you remember the first chapter of 1 Peter. It's the promise of the possession. Verse 4. And it is about the promises. So these people had these promises. But these people whom this man Joshua is saying farewell to, these were not half-timers. They were not loafers. They were not whirlings. They were not lovers of their own pleasure and ease. They were the fighting battalions of the army of Joshua. They had left their home and their wives and their family. They got their possession to the east of Jordan by their own request. But they could only get that possession if they entered into a solemn oath that they would not forsake the other tribes in the battle until the battles were all won and the victory was all gained. And they entered into a solemn oath that until the battle is won, until the whole of the possession promised to Abraham is ours, we will not forsake you. And you know how many years that we're away from home? 7 years. 7 years these men were wanderers in tents as the commandos of the army of Joshua. And after 7 years of militant service for Joshua, Joshua says farewell to them. And he said, you are going back now to your families. You have obeyed the Moses. You have obeyed me. But I want to tell you the secret must continue of your success. And it will continue as you do the seven things that I'm setting out to you. First of all, you have to heed the word of God. You've got to heed it. And in chapter 22, you will find, take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you. Moses, the servant of the law. Just mark that title, would you? And when you're reading the Old Testament, mark every time in the Old Testament that Moses is called the servant of the Lord. And you'll find a most interesting study indeed. Taking heed to the commandments of God. There is no discharge in this war. Reuben and the tribes of Manasseh and Gad, you've got to do as you did in the wilderness. You've got to heed the word of God. You cannot heed the word of God if you don't read the Word of God. The man that disobeys Scripture is the man who's not reading the Word of God. Because the reading of the Word causes a cleansing in the heart. Now are ye clean, said the Lord Jesus, through the Word that I have spoken unto you. And if you're not reading the Word, you'll not be heeding the Word, and you'll fall into sin. Sad to relate, these two tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh, after all their service in liberating the promised land, they fell into apostasy. And they were the first tribes to apostatize from heeding the Word of God. He that standeth, take heed lest he fall. Are you heeding the Word of God? Weigh yourself in the balance. And you needn't tell me you're heeding the Word of God if you're not reading the Word of God. There's a disgraceful neglect of Holy Scripture by God's people. It's a good thing that Bible you have is not a speaking Bible. And every Bible startup tell us how many times it was opened this week and what hours were spent. Maybe you didn't in all the week spend 1 hour, 60 minutes with a book. What sort of a believer are you? You claim to believe the book and you neglect it. The exhortation to heed it. And then the exhortation to love the Lord your God, to love him. Jesus Christ loved you. He wants you to love him. In loving you, he had to give. And if you're going to love Christ, you will have to give. You'll have to give to Christ. Oh, the wonder of this passage of Holy Scripture. Oh, the wonder of it. To heed and then to love. I love him because he first loved me. Reciprocal love. Christ is looking for. He wants nothing else from us but our love. Did you kneel down today before you came to this house of God? Dear child of God, did you kneel down and tell the Savior, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. He wants to hear it. And he wants to see it practiced. And then following the love, there's something else. And the heeding and the loving, there is the walking. There is the walking. To walk. God wants us to make progress. He wants us to walk. All through the Bible, there is reference to the Christian pathway and to the walk of the child of God. The child of God is not to walk after the flesh. He's not to walk in darkness. He is to walk after the Spirit. He is to walk by the influence of the Spirit, is to walk by faith, is to walk in reliance upon God, is to walk in the light, is to walk in the atmosphere of purity and holiness, is to walk guided by the Bible, is to walk through the fire and through the flood and through the rivers, is to walk with God. Let me ask you, are you walking with God? Are you? Remember that great man? He walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch, the man who walked with God. The exhortation is to heeding and to loving, but the exhortation is also to walking. And then look at the fourth exhortation, to keep His commandments. The first time the word keep is used in the Bible was in Genesis. When God put Adam in the garden to keep it. To keep it. In the keeping, there was the care. God looking for caring Christians who will keep His commandments. The best way to keep God's word is to obey it. For when you obey God's word, you're giving it the best keeping that you can do, hiding it in your heart that you may not sin against Him. To keep His commandments. This is a day of commandment breaking. I was talking to a Christian the other day, and he was just saying, you know, our forefathers, Ian, were a bit strict. And he says, you know, it's good we're not so strict today. I say, what are you talking about? So you're saying, I know what you're saying. You're saying, I'm glad I haven't to obey the way I used to obey. Well, I said, I want to tell you, I'm a Puritan. And I'm very glad that the Daily Telegraph in a recent editorial said Paisley is a Puritan. He believes in the Bible, and he's determined to make everybody else know what's in the Bible. That's what a Puritan is. And the only way you can make men know what's in the Bible is to obey it yourself and keep it yourself. The little boy was always falling out of bed. And Mummy said to him, Tommy, why do you fall out of bed? He says, because, Mummy, I think I go to sleep too near the edge of the bed. Behind, there's a lot of Christians on the edge of the world, aren't they? And they would like to be as into the world as they could. You're to keep away from the world and all it is. And you'll keep away from the world when you keep His commandments. But there's something more here. We're to cleave unto Him. That's a lovely word, isn't it? Who was a man that cleaved unto the Lord? Can you remember him? I'll tell you. His name was Jacob. He was about to face his elder brother. He didn't know whether it was martyrdom or reconciliation. It was a bad way, and there appeared a man who wrestled with him. And they wrestled all night. And Jacob wasn't getting the better of it. And it says, he caught hold of that man and he said, I will not let you go except thou just bless me. He cleaved unto him. No letting go. Oh, I wish we had a gang of Christians today who will not let the Lord go until revival fire breaks through in our land, until we see the mighty deliverance. So there's heeding, and there's loving, and there's walking, and there's keeping, and there's cleaving, but there's serving. And there's two servings here. There is serving the Lord with all your heart. And there's serving the Lord with all your soul. The heart has to do with God. The soul has to do with our relation outside the heart in the things of this world. And I have to serve the Lord in my heart. In secret, when no one knows, in my heart, am I really serving the Lord? Have I a heart religion? Do I practice a heart religion? But then I have to be a man serving with my soul. And it's the souls of men that touch one another. The outward serving of the Lord. I think you'll agree with me. Our service at times is very, very weak indeed. Remember, O Christian, with heat, when sunk under sentence of death, how first thou from bondage was freed, say, was it by works or by faith? On Christ thy affections then fixed, what conjugal truth didst thou vow? With him was there anything mixed, that thou wouldst, that what wouldst thou mix with him now? If close to thy Lord thou wouldst cleave, depend on his promise alone, his righteousness wouldst thou receive, then learn to renounce all thy own. The faith of a Christian indeed is more than mere notion or whim. United to Christ, his head, he draws life and virtue from him. Deceived by the father of lies, blind guides cry, lo here and lo there. By these our Redeemer us try, and warn us of such to beware. Poor comfort to mourners they give, who set us to labor in vain, and strive with the do this and live, to drive us to Egypt again. But what says our Shepherd divine? For his blessed word we should keep. This flock has my Father made mine. I lay down my life for my sheep. 'Tis life everlasting I give. My blood was the price that it cost. Not one that in me shall believe shall ever be finally lost. This God is the God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend, whose love is as large as his power, and neither knows measure nor end. 'Tis Jesus the first and the last, whose Spirit shall guide us safe home. We'll praise him for all that is past, and we'll trust him for all that's to come. My brother, my sister, cleave unto the Lord. and serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Amen.